Welcome to the Connections Podcast, a podcast devoted to how Unitarian Universalists of San Mateo connect to our beloved community. I'm your host, Jack Brennan, Connections at UUSM. Our guest today is Lori Fox. Lori's parents grew up on adjoining dairy farms in Western Maryland and married young. Both vowed never to work on the farm again. Lori's dad studied electronics in the Navy, then started a long career with IBM, which, as you may know, stands for I've Been Moved. Lori's mom began her career as Fox Family Logistics Manager, single-handedly resettling a household that included toddler Lori and fetus David in Baltimore. It was the first of six such moves that they would make as a family. The fifth move landed the family in Germany for 2 years, and that was truly life-altering. Lori attended Frankfurt International School with much more sophisticated corporate brats, including Lori's BFF, Carol. They visited other countries on field trips and sports outings. They explored art and food and attitudes and unusual friendships. It started out terrifying, but changed Lori into a person who enjoys human diversity. She returned to the U.S. to finish high school in Virginia Beach and attended college at UVA. She studied nursing after architecture didn't work out. After the first juries, Lori found out that she just wasn't competitive. That should have been listed in the prerequisites. She has never regretted her career choice. She worked as an RN in obstetrics for 13 years in and around Washington, D.C. Sometime in that period, she was married for 9 years, fell in love with her BFF's adopted hometown of San Francisco, and vowed to move there after the marriage failed. Lori moved to the Bay Area and worked as a labor and delivery RN in Burlingame for 27 years. She retired early to be with Hal at home for the final year of his life. It was one of those decisions that she knew in her soul that she would never regret. UUSM has been huge in Lori's life. She first came to UUSM because it was simply the closest UU church to her apartment when she moved to California in 1995. She didn't become a member until 2 or 3 years later because she's not much of a joiner. She's the opposite of Hal, who joined the choir and signed the membership book with his then wife on the first Sunday he attended the Unitarian Church in Arlington. Lori was inspired to join the Pastoral Care Associates after a particularly difficult time in her life. Her brother David had become homeless, and Lori was unable to cope with that. Ann Mason and Reba Lynn rescued her. They gave her a list of social services for him and mental health resources and endless emotional support for Lori. Also at that time, Pat Nicholson gave Lori the most surprising and profound gift she has ever received. When Lori had to have the difficult conversation with David about not coming to live with her, Pat asked her if Lori would like Pat to just sit next to her while she talked with David. Lori has served as lead worship associate, co-chair of the Partner Church Committee with Carol Cook, co-chair of two pledge drives with Pat Nicholson, coordinator of Homework Central Snack Angels, and the leader of a new music ministry called Sacred Song Circle. The two activities closest to Lori's heart are singing alto two in the choir and singing middle voice with Jabalore, her favorite a cappella girl band. Lori, welcome to the Connections Podcast.
Thank you, Jack.
I was so thrilled when you finally said yes to my, 47th invitation to be interviewed. I know that you did not grow up on a farm.
True.
And that your family moved a lot when you were a child. But what kind of kid were you? And what did you love doing?
I liked to stay at home. I liked to draw and explore the woods around the house and stuff like that. And also my brother and I kept each other occupied. We were best friends since we were our only friends for a lot of my life when we didn't have, we hadn't met people yet at the new places.
Oh, right. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, we were raised as twins.
Right. What was your relationship like with your parents when you were growing up?
We didn't see much of my dad. He was always at work, and my mom was the organizer and total caregiver and person who took us to parks and made sure we had stuff to keep us busy and also taught us to sing.
She taught you to sing.
She did. My mom's not a great singer, but that doesn't matter. She liked to hear us sing, and so we were from nursery rhymes on up. We went to concerts and stuff like that, too. She also got us interested in the church choir.
Right. We didn't really cover your religious bio. Do you want to share that with our listeners?
Right? Oh, okay. Yeah. In Western Maryland, pretty much everybody is Lutheran. So that's what happened to us. We grew up in the Lutheran church, and I loved it, especially like at Christmas, where you decorate this big tree with Christmons. They're like big white religious symbols that might have gold glitter on them, but you decorate the whole tree with that. All the mystery that goes along with Christianity, and I guess it's pretty close to the Catholic Church, except not.
Right. Sometimes better summer camps.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We always went to summer camp. Camp Marlew Ridge. How about that?
Okay.
Yeah, it was a good time.
You didn't stay Lutheran, so what happened next in your religious?
Okay, well, as teenagers, we moved to Germany and pretty much everything else stopped. There was just so much to learn about being in a new country and stuff like this, and the religious practice went out the window. In Germany, I just started to have questions about all the religious training that I had had. It did not ring true because I was in an international school. I had friends that were Buddhist and Catholic and all shades. I had a lot of friends who were atheists and comfortable with that. And they were the sweetest, most ethical people that I knew. That's how I said, well, these people clearly are not going to hell. So I don't really think that there's a heaven for me apart from these people, because it would be nice if we were all together, if that is a thing. I had a lot of questions.
Right.
After being in Germany, we moved back to the States, and I went to high school in Virginia Beach. And in high school, I read Emerson and Thoreau and in love with the American Transcendentalist movement. And I thought, wow, I really resonate with that. Then I realized that Emerson was a part of the Unitarian Church, and I researched that a little bit. But I didn't really feel a need to go to church. It was my private life. And then I finally got to go to church because I lived about a mile from the Unitarian Church in Virginia after I was married and needed some kind of distraction from my life. I had a problematic marriage, and it was a time when everybody was just about bigger and better and more consumer goods, and I felt a little dead on the inside. So going to church really made a difference in my life, and I stuck with that church for a good long time and finally met Hal there.
So it really did make a difference in your life.
Oh, it made a big difference in my life.
How did you and Hal meet?
It was random. My marriage had broken up already. I actually had been out on a first date of my life the night before, and I was totally hungover. And I was leaving the social hall early and trying to be discreet. And somebody stops me in the doorway and says, I just wanted to tell you that I enjoy your lovely smile. And I knew this was Hal Henderson. He had been in all kinds of plays at church and was in the choir and stuff like that. And I said, and I like your beard, Hal. And he just was taken aback because he didn't know who I was and I knew who he was. And we played phone tag for a little bit, and the first time that we really got to know each other, I was at his housewarming party, which was something that I talked about at his memorial.
Right.
But that was the beginning of it all.
So you were living in Virginia then.
Mm-hmm.
That was during the 80s.
Actually, early 90s.
Was it?
Yeah, early 90s.
You moved out to the Bay Area then?
Yeah, that was, Hal and I were just starting to go together, but I had pretty much planned when my marriage broke up, I was going to move to the Bay Area where my best friend Carol lived from high school. We had just kept up with each other and were close all those years. He helped me move.
Oh.
Yeah, he's a good guy. And then we thought, well, see ya. And we just never broke up. We didn't find anybody we liked better than each other. So Hal was able to travel just whenever he wanted. But I kept him down to 2 weeks every 6 weeks because I liked living on my own.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. And he just would come to visit and I'd work as a nurse the rest of the time.
And that just continued for...
like 22 years, something like that.
Isn't that amazing?
I thought it's a lot easier than paying bills together or raising kids or things that other people were doing.
Right.
But it didn't work out so much when Hal got sick and I really wanted to be with him. He had his second heart attack. I went back there for about a month and I said, I have to get back to work.
Right.
So his doctor said, well, if you can get him into Kaiser by the end of the week. So I called up my connections and they said Thursday or Friday. Yes. I didn't have a lot of time to think about whether Hal and I should live together. But as I said, I would not have done it any differently at all.
Yeah. What year was that?
2017.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's talk about the time you've spent as part of the UUSM community.
Yeah.
I know that you chose UUSM because it was just close.
I just wanted a UU church. And this was a cutie pie.
Yeah, it's a nice one.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been part of this community for 30 years nearly.
It's pretty long. I would imagine that I haven't been a member nearly that long because I don't join right away. But yeah, it's been a good long run. With you reading that list, I remembered how many things that I've done here. They were all spread out. Another thing that I did that I liked a lot was running a chalice circle, the open circles that we have now. Yeah, we used to call them chalice circles. That was a good time.
It's really good. I know that... the last year, you retired early to take care of Hal as his health got worse. How did you come to that decision?
Mm-hmm.
You said you knew in your soul you would not regret it. And
right.
I know you don't regret it. Tell me about that decision and how that all went.
I was not being a very responsible caregiver. I was going to work for 10 hours until midnight. And Hal would stay at home, and I thought he would probably do okay. But as the moderator of one of my support groups said, it's like, it'll be okay until it really isn't.
Right.
And you'll learn the hard way.
Yeah.
So I did have that in my mind, that this would not be a long-term solution. Before COVID, I had some caregivers that came by a couple of times a week and would be with Hal for about maybe 4 or 5 hours and just make sure that he got some dinner and didn't wait up for me or something like that. But I knew it wasn't enough, and I just felt sorry for him being there. But he was in and out of the hospital, and he had heart failure, so you would go to the hospital for a tune-up every year or something, where you get put on Lasix and your diuretics would work and then you get to go home. But he just got more and more tired, and to where his memory was really failing. And I didn't feel like he would do something dangerous per se, but I just didn't want him to feel bad without me. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When I finally decided that I could take the financial hit of not staying until I had a full pension and stuff like that.
Right.
Now it seems just silly that that would have been part of the equation for me. It was so much better to not worry about Hal. And I know that affected my job performance too. Sure. I felt like I was really pedaling as fast as I could at work, but I wasn't doing a great job of it anyway. So Hal and I stayed home together for a year at the end of his life. And it was, I guess I'm enough of a control freak that I just like knowing what is happening all the time with him. I think that we really did just maximize our time together. We depended on a lot of people to make it work, because as this woman who was the coordinator of the Alzheimer's support group that I went to, which I would recommend for anybody who has a loved one that is in there. That situation. But she always said, and it was the best advice that I ever got, was you are supposed to outlast them. Make sure that you have backup and take good care of yourself. And for me, that really meant being able to go out with friends.
Right.
And be out of the house and not worry about Hal while I was doing it. I had to have people in place that would come over and be with him. A lot of them were friends from church.
Yeah.
People liked being with Hal.
Right. How could you not like being with Hal? No, that's true.
Yeah. Hal was just, even when his health made it hard, there was a lot of that. We just had so many good times, and he lit up a room when he was in it. He liked to sing, and he liked to play games, and he really liked to have dinner with people, even though he wasn't much into eating. It was just all of the social stuff, and that's really what he loved about UUSM too. He could have a good time, even though he had no memory whatsoever.
Right.
You know, he wasn't one of those people that was ever self-conscious about that. I remember Charles Dumont talked to Hal, and this was a long time ago, so clearly Hal had these issues for much longer than he was dealing with it with me. Charles said, "You're Hal Henderson." And Hal said, "Yes, I am," and moved right along.
You got that right. Oh, I know you have so many good memories, and of even that last year that you got to spend so much time with him. Was it also hard?
It was super hard. I was just thinking about, you said on about the 47th go, I said yes to the podcast, because I didn't really have, you know, over the past maybe 3 or 4 years, I didn't have any clear idea of what my life was, really. I didn't know where it was going. I was anxious about how bad Hal would get and how I wouldn't be good at taking care of him and stuff like that. It really made me forget about what my own life was now. And I feel like now I have a really clear idea of following what my purpose was at the time and having something to contribute in the world for people who are going through hard times or caring for people. I can even see like a post-nursing volunteer career for me, like either in hospice or moderating the Alzheimer's groups or something like that. I mean, all these people that came into my life on account of I was a caregiver and Hal was sick, it helped me find, you know, more purpose in what I was doing.
I can actually see that in you, especially as you talk about it today. I can see that change, that because it makes such a difference to actually to get deep enough to be able to look and see how you are.
Writing a bio for you really took me through, so, you know, that really helped me put down for somebody else what I was all about. And when Hal came to live with me, it became more apparent that I had a big extended family, although I might have just thought about it as my mom and me, who are the only ones that are left of my original family. But I had Peason and Doug, and I had Carol and Bob and Patrick and Rachel and the baby cow. It was like all this huge network of people who are very close and dear. It's lovely to review that and have a solid idea of who your people are.
Yeah. Tell me about Sacred Song Circle and how that came to happen. I love the idea of that, and I love what you all have already done with that. Tell me more.
Okay, Sacred Song Circle. Let's see. I'm in the pastoral care group, and Rev Stephanie was a big part of that. We were visiting Tish, who recently passed away. Those of us who knew her very well from the choir would go and sing songs to Tish. And Rev Stephanie had some really good ideas about how to make that sacred occasion just part of our ministry at UUSM. I said, ooh, I really feel drawn to that. It was like one of those things where I had the same ooh feeling when Vale and I were taking this class about the joy diet, and they were talking about what really revs up your soul, and somebody was talking about the Philippines and actually going there and meeting the people. And Vale and I looked at each other and went, ooh. But I digress. We're talking about Sacred Song Circle. Rev Stephanie said that the Palo Alto UU Church has a really big and good group. They call themselves the By Your Side Singers. And they sing together for people who are in crisis, and whether they're not feeling good about life, or they're very ill and in the hospital, or they're dying, this group is prepared to offer gentle, familiar songs that are sung a cappella at the bedside. That's the way they do theirs. I had visited that group a couple of times. They were so generous. They gave me their songbook. They said, come back anytime you want. Come sing with us if you want. They're just lovely. Oh, and the other thing that this group does that we haven't done yet, but I can totally see doing it, is that one lucky person at each rehearsal, when their By Your Side Singers gets together and rehearses, they have a lawn chair, the lounge chair, that goes in the middle of the group. And you get to be that person that's sung to.
Aww.
To just know how that feels.
Oh,
and it informs your delivery.
Yes.
You think about what you would want in that case. People are really cute about it. They're like, it's me today, and I need this sung to me.
Yeah, nice.
It's so great. So Sacred Song Circle has been meeting every other week in the cottage, and we do a lot of songs from the hymnal. We like familiar songs, and if the person wants to sing along, that's even better. That's been happening recently. We take songs from UU Round Singers that a lot of us know, and we teach those to the group too, because it makes a nice blend of voices. And there's also an idea that I really like that says we should have a repertoire of folk songs, and this came up at the picnic. I was like, oh, these would be good for Sacred Song Circle. Familiar songs of a person's youth or American songbook that everybody knows and would want to sing along, and that are familiar and friendly. We made maybe half a dozen visits to members of the community, And Hal was one of the first people to be sung to.
I remember.
It was really fantastic.
That's great.
I would say that Sacred Song and Job Lore are two loves of what I'm doing with UUSM right now. That's
I know Job Lore just had its first anniversary.
what I hear. Yes, somebody else was keeping the calendar for me, and I raise a glass to you. I think it was you. Oh.
What do you want to tell us about Job Lore?
Okay. I should say for the audience that Job Lore is Jack Brennan, Becky Howland, and Lori Fox. We came up with this catchy name that just stuck.
I had volunteered to do a service at Labor Day weekend because nobody ever wants to do holiday weekends because attendance is lower. I volunteered to do a reproductive justice thing. Somebody told me about this song called Sally's Pigeons. And I had thought about singing it, and then I thought I couldn't sing it. And so I asked Becky if she would be interested in singing it. And then when she got music, it was three parts. And so she said we should get Lori to join us. And I think that
That
was.
works as well as any explanation. I like that one. Yeah, but I do remember that service, and it was so meaningful. I'm like, wow, this song hits me in the gut. Can I actually sing this at the pulpit with a camera on me? But I knew I could because you two were there too.
Right. It was the three of us, and our voices just sounded good together.
We did
So,
pretty well. Joel was playing piano on that, wasn't he, that day? Okay, so he backed us up. He was behind this idea too. We
Yeah,
had
he
a little
was
support for this.
definitely. Yeah.
I really liked singing that song. We've moved on to where most of the things we do now are a cappella with our
Yes.
own harmony arrangements.
Yes.
Ouch, I hurt myself patting myself on the back. It's just a ton of fun. When we don't sing together for a month or so, I really, really miss it. Job Alor is good fun. I listened to another trio that impressed me very much this weekend, and they might want to sing together sometime too. At the folk singers table at the
Right.
picnic, Sheila Sandell,
Yeah.
Joan Kassman, and Sylvie Olson had these high harmonies that were out of this world. They sounded like the angels.
We could have a battle of the girl bands.
I told you I'm not competitive, but okay.
That's
That was really something,
And you call
John.
yourself the competition, but
Well, I got to
okay.
tell you about the competition. Through Job Lore, I fervently believe Jack and Becky and I have really become besties, and especially in the wee wee hours of the morning.
Yes.
When we wake up, we all turn on our phones, and when it's 3 a.m. in New York, Wordle comes out. And so we all just chime in, and I hear that delightful, I never turn my phone off at night because I like to hear the ping of them coming online. And it's just so fun for me. And so that makes me roll over and see what Jack has done with the first four games of the day, because she's always the first to start. We play Wordle. You got us playing Connections from New York Times also.
Right. Because it's
I
connections.
know, because that's your game,
That's
really.
right.
It should be,
Yeah.
Connections. All right, so the competition was my short name for the game Hal and I would play at the lunch table every day until probably about a month before he died. I mean, he couldn't remember whether he had breakfast or anything like that, but he would remember how to play this game, and he was actually good competition. He was very good at it. The game was upwards, which
you guys know that.
That's why I'm the competition, Jack.
I did not.
It's not because I'm competitive, but I would convince him that he had to play me. And he said, oh, no, let's eat first. And I'm like, nuh-uh, I have to go to work. So we're going to play the competition. He'd be, okay. And then he would really beat me a third of the time. So for any of you who haven't played Upwards, I just found out from Jack Brennan that it is an online game. Mm-hmm. And my handle on the online game is The Competition.
Yeah. Look her up. I can't even remember what my... Jack Law.
Jack Law.
Yeah, that's yeah. It. I've been playing for many years online.
I never knew anybody who played Upwards except Hal and me. Hal picked up sometime when I lived in California and he lived back east. He picked up the board game, which, as you know, is a pretty big board, but he packed it in his carry-on somehow and brought this into our life, and it never left.
That's great, though. What a nice memory. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. We are going to wrap this up with some quick hitters. I'll ask you a question. You give me an answer.
I can do it.
Okay. You're ready to go.
Right? Well, I'm Southern, so speak slow.
What is the best excuse for being late that you've ever used?
Oh, it's a little bit sad, but back in the day, I had to tell Joel and the choir that Hal was missing and I would be late to church.
No.
Yeah, he wandered just a handful of times, but one of those he picked to be the day we were going to church. He went to get a newspaper across the street, as he always does, and he didn't come back. It was about a half an hour before the lady from Safeway called me and said, somebody wants to talk to you, ma'am.
Oh, man. Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was a pretty good excuse, I thought.
No, that's a very good excuse. Yeah, I give you that. What kinds of things keep you up at night?
Oh, it could be most anything. I'm not a really good sleeper. Mm-hmm. Never have been. An earworm will keep me up at night, but not too much with worries.
Good.
Yeah, I could.
That's good. If you got to choose your own name, what would it be?
Yeah, I like my name. I keep it. Yep.
I do too. Mm. I like your name too. If you could only eat one food for the rest of your life, what would it be?
Probably waffles.
Waffles.
I love waffles. I love waffles of all kinds. My best friend Carol and I just celebrated our 50th anniversary of being friends. And we went to a Wayfair Tavern in the city and got their wonderful cornbread waffles with fried chicken on top of them. Mm. Oh, it's heaven. Wow. But also I like just the regular kind with syrup. And
Do you like stuff like fruit and whipped cream on top?
No, ma'am. I don't like that. I like big farm breakfast.
Okay.
So I like the eggs and bacon kind of waffle.
Nice. What's the worst movie you ever saw?
Oh, God. There's so many that make me livid. Mostly if it was a really great book that I read that I was so excited about the movie coming out and it sucked.
The movie.
The last one of those. Oh, one of those that I remember was, I love, in fact, it's in my Christmas library. I really loved Skipping Christmas by John Grisham. It's this very snarky comic story about a family that just decides not to celebrate and how they have to put it all together at the last minute when the kid actually comes home to visit and stuff like this. But they don't do Christmas lights and they're in trouble with the neighborhood and all like that. It was a hilarious book. And it got made into something stupid called Christmas with the Cranks, and I didn't forgive that very easily. Also, I don't probably like anything with Michael Douglas or Julia Roberts. All those people annoy me.
Those two in particular?
Yes. Yeah. Especially the rom-coms and, yeah.
Okay.
Don't like those. But Christmas with the Cranks, ugh.
The book is always better than the movie, right?
Yeah, but I couldn't forgive that.
One exception to that book is better than the movie.
Sophie's Choice, what?
No.
What?
Jaws.
Jaws, you're right.
It was better than the book. But that's the only movie that I've ever seen that turned out better than.
Ooh, I worked in the theater when Jaws was playing.
Oh, so you got to see a lot. What's your favorite place on earth?
Oh, easy. The cross-country ski trail for Blackwater Falls State Park in West Virginia. I used to go there before Hal got sick. I used to go there every February with my girlfriends from my job in Washington.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's my favorite place on earth.
Best concert you ever attended?
Ah. The Who, 1978, Hampton Coliseum.
All right.
Loudest concert I've ever went.
Would you rather live without internet or without bathing?
Without internet. You can't believe that?
No.
I can't believe you. Oh, without bathing. Oh, my.
Not even close.
No,
luckily we don't have to make that choice.
The shower is my happy place too. I think the shower makes everything all right.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No, it is not. It is a religious token. It makes me feel like I'm at a ball game. And that's my happy place with my brother.
So not a sandwich.
Oh, no, I digress.
Are avocados overrated?
No.
What's the best compliment you ever got?
Whenever I said something that would make my dad laugh, his laughter would be my compliment.
Mm. I get that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's your favorite thing about yourself?
I'm a good friend.
You are. Thank you so much, Lori. I really appreciate you taking the time and finally letting me interview you for the USM Connections podcast.
It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I love you. Many thanks, as always, to our listeners. Keep making connections. Yay!
That was fun.